Happy Monday, and thank you so much for downloading the Be Our Guest podcast. Today's episode of the show brought to you, as always, by the great folks over at touringplans.com. We all know with our Disney trip planning that you need to get on things early if you want to have the best advantage for a great Disney vacation. However, a touringplans.com premium subscription is something you can get at the last minute. It is kind of like a life preserver. It's going to help you save a trip that might not go as well otherwise. Even if you're heading down tomorrow, in the heart of the summer crowds here in the middle of June, you can grab a premium subscription to touringplans.com for the price of a couple of desserts down at Walt Disney World, and you're going to have all the information you need to steer clear of those big summer crowds and see the most attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World or Disneyland vacation. You never want to enter a Disney park without lines and your premium subscription to touringplans.com. Check them out today. Support the folks who support us. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 871 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you, and if you're downloading today's podcast, you get a medal of honor, because if you were tuned in yesterday, we were on the air for 12 hours straight to support the great folks down at Give Kids the World, and you guys came through so awesomely, and we just had a great time spending our Sunday talking Disney for 12 straight hours. So thank you to everybody who was a part of that. We obviously are recording the show just a little bit early so we can get it out there. You know, we're not crazy. We're not going to do 12 hours straight, then record the Monday show right after that. You wouldn't want to hear that. So this one's done a little early, but we'll be back again on Wednesday to kind of recap what went on yesterday. And I'm sure it was awesome. And again, thank you so much for your support of that. But to get your week started the right way, we always like to talk trip reports and find unique, different experiences in the Disney universe to talk about. And we have another one today. So joining me all the way from Springfield, Virginia, we have our good friend David. How's it going, David?
Doing great, Mike. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Get to talk Disney. It's a fresh week, and, you know, I'm a school teacher, so it's the middle of June. I can live with that. I don't have to go to work today, so pretty good.
All right. Don't brag. Don't rub it in.
I know. It's hard not to. I know. So we're going to go out to the West Coast today, and, you know, actually, even though you're on the East Coast, we're going to talk about a trip that you took out to Disneyland, but it was brief. But I think the reason that I really want to talk about this is that it was kind of the Disneyland part was more of like an add-on as far as going out to California and the West Coast for a different reason, right?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, so tell us about the trip. When'd you go, and you know, what was the reason for traveling out west?
So my family, I have a daughter and a son. Daughter's in college, son's in high school. And my wife and I went out on the 26th, day after Christmas. We were going out to look at colleges for my son. He's interested in filmmaking. Being the Disney geek that I am, I talked to my wife, and the kids wanted to go to Disneyland, so we decided to do it for one day to fit it in with the rest of the trip.
Yeah, it would almost be a shame to go all that way and not go to Disneyland. You know, because, you know, years and years ago before I was this big Disney nut and, you know, had found podcasts and, you know, the only thing I had known about was going to the library and checking out books, but I went out to Yosemite and did all that, and I never went to Disneyland, you know, and I drove out there, so I'm kicking myself. So I think you made the right call.
Yeah, I think we all had a good time. None of my family had been out there before, so it was their first time. So I was anxious to share that with them, and so they could see the difference. Because we go down to Disney World, we've been probably, you know, up to 10 times over the life of the kids. So I wanted to show them something different.
Now, did you guys do, since you were only going to be there for a brief amount of time, because, again, you were visiting, you know, universities like UCLA, USC, I think you mentioned, and even headed to some other cities. What was the planning like as far as, you know, because this isn't like, you know, something you're going out there for a week. Like you mentioned the world, there's tons of planning going on there. You know, it takes many, many days to kind of nail things down. Did you do much planning?
We did a reasonable amount. My wife, you know, leaves it up to me because she knows I'm the Disney crazy guy. So what the real choice was what day we would actually go. So it was, you know, basically the winter break, everybody was out. You know, on vacation, And so we kind of nailed it down to December 28th. We decided we were going to go, which I believe was a Tuesday. And so we were debating, you know, should we go Monday, should we go Tuesday? But I didn't want to go on the weekend because I know the locals definitely go on the weekend. Although being a, you know, Christmas holiday, I'm not sure that mattered.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, exactly. Because you're there the week between Christmas and New Year's, which I know down in the world is crazy. And I'd imagine, so what were the crowds like? I mean, was it insane?
It definitely built as the day went on. You know, I was looking at some of my notes and I noticed that when we got there, right when it opened, so the park was open from 8 till midnight, which I guess tells you right then that it's going to be kind of crowded. So the crowds in the morning, just like at the Magic Kingdom or at Disney World, weren't too bad, but they definitely built as the day went on.
Interesting. So now tell us about, you know, again, you had been there because, you know, you said you traveled out there for business, but your family had not. So how did you kind of prepare them for the Disneyland experience since they were veteran world travelers? But, you know, it's a different animal out there, I've been told.
It is. I prepared them by saying it's much smaller and you can walk between the parks. And Downtown Disney actually is attached, you know, well, it's kind of adjacent to the entrance to both California Adventure and Disneyland. So I said, you know, we can do all that together. You don't have to take a bus and go between parks and things like that and kill a lot of time.
So now you guys, you didn't stay on site when you were out there. You guys stayed at a La Quinta, correct?
Correct.
So tell us about, you know, how that worked out for you and, like, as far as the commute getting there. I mean, what was the, if somebody was going to go out there and maybe stay for a couple of 3 days, would that be a good choice for them?
It depends on, we happened to have a rental car because we were going to be there for like 10 days. So I think if you're, you know, some of it was, I know I hear when you, you know, do the podcast, you like that you drive down. We tend to drive down when we go to Disney in order to save money just because the tickets. And so the choice of La Quinta was driven in part because I had points so I could get a free night, and in part because if you stayed closer, the prices kept going up and you had to pay resort fees and, you know, all these other things. And parking, most of the places had parking. So I was just trying to save money primarily. And, you know, since I knew we'd be at the park from opening till the end, when it closed, we just kind of needed a bed.
Yeah, I hear you there. Now, how was the commute between the La Quinta and Disneyland? Because I'd imagine that this week was probably, you know, you probably see the most traffic than you would any time of the year, I would guess.
Traffic actually wasn't too bad, surprisingly. I was a little nervous because I kind of get nervous about those things. But it was about a 20-minute drive, and I would say that was about 8 to 10 miles away from Disneyland proper, or at least from the resort. So we, you know, with the drive, we got up, I think we left at 7:15 or so, maybe 7:30 at the latest from the hotel, and we got there about 8 o'clock. I remember, you know, because you pull in, we had to go to the parking, had to pay the $17 for that. It wasn't long lines, but, you know, again, they were building. It definitely was a steady stream of people coming in. Oh, and then when we got out of the parking garage, you have to get a tram from the parking garage, takes you over to the, kind of drops you off at the Downtown Disney area. And the tram was a little crowded too. So, but I was surprised. It only took us about 20 minutes to actually drive it. So really traffic was less than I had expected and less than I had experienced in the past.
Yeah, I mean, for people like me that go to Walt Disney World, I mean, that's the time it takes to ride the bus from Pop Century to the Magic Kingdom. You know, I mean, to kind of put it in perspective.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's not bad at all. I mean, you know.
No, I was surprised. I mean, if you don't mind a little bit of a drive and you don't care about being able to walk, then I think staying at a hotel that's away. If you're really, really trying to maximize savings and pay, you know, staying somewhere a little further away that's maybe not a good neighbor hotel, so you don't pay resort fees and any kind of parking fees, that really helps.
Yeah, it's always good to have that information, you know, that if you need to save a little money this trip, you know, because, you know, there's times where maybe you're on a splurge and there's some times where money's really tight, and that's definitely an option. I mean, 20 minutes and saving a lot of money, I'd fall on the trip.
Yeah.
You know, I'm one of those people at the ball game, you know, I'll park in the $5 parking and walk, you know, 20 blocks rather than pay $25 and be right next to the stadium. So it kind of fits me.
Right, and, you know, if you stay at some of the hotels down 192 at Disney World, it can easily take you 20 minutes for something that's only 3 miles away. So,
good point.
I guess you just got to balance out what you want to get out of the driving experience and the saving the money.
Now, before we got recording here, we were mentioning how the night before you guys headed over to the downtown Disney area, and you had one of the experiences that I have probably about every other trip down to Walt Disney World, where I am a Disney Visa rewards or Disney Visa credit card holder, you know, and then I build up my rewards points, and I tend to use those for meals and so forth on our Disney vacations. I always save them for that. But every time I go down, it seems like, or at least every other time, I go to pull out my rewards card to transfer the points onto the card to use during my trip, and it's expired. This has happened so many times. I'm always over at Downtown Disney. But the same thing happened to you, and you kind of learned something I think would be great for our audience to know if they're heading out to Disneyland and this happens to them. So if you could share that story, I think that'd be great.
Sure, Mike. So I realized that the Disney reward card had expired, and so I wanted to go the night before, getting back to kind of your question of driving, for two reasons. One, I wanted to find out the route, and I wanted to see where I had to drive and park and everything. So we parked at Downtown Disney that night, and that was really crowded. I was really surprised. It took us at least two or three laps around the parking lot to find a parking spot in the particular one we were parking at. So then I, you know, was thinking, well, we can go get the rewards card at the gates, or maybe I can try the hotels, because, you know, the Disney hotels would have them. So I went to the hotel, and what the cast member had told me was if we had been staying at one of the Disney resorts, then they could have helped us. But since we weren't staying at a Disney resort, they couldn't give us a rewards card. So we had to walk over from the Disneyland Hotel to the ticket booths in front of Disneyland and California Adventure, and one of the cast members there gave me a rewards card.
It's interesting,
and
though,
at
they
that
can't,
point,
I'm sorry, but it's just interesting they couldn't help you, you know, because you're still going to be spending your money, obviously, at the Disney property. They can't help you either way. That's, I understand it's a convenience for the guests of the hotel, but it's just kind of surprising to me they can't really help everybody else out. Interesting.
Yeah, I was surprised, especially I don't recall seeing lots of people at concierge. I mean, it's not like there was a big line of people, you know, looking to be helped or anything like that. But that's okay. I mean, I didn't get mad. I just said, okay, thank you, and walked over to the ticket booth.
And actually, that's a good place to take care of that, because as I recall it down at World, I've always done it at either Downtown Disney, that kiosk over by Earl of Sandwich, kind of, well, that down in the marketplace. I've been there more than once, obviously, and but I don't think you can do it at the ticket booths, which actually makes sense, because most people are probably going to use that money maybe for tickets. You know, it makes sense. You know, just grab your card, call up the number, transfer the points, and there they go.
Yeah.
Get some tickets.
Yeah, which is what I did. While we were waiting to go eat at Downtown Disney that night, I just called them up and had the points transferred, and everything was good to go.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about that next day. So you have one day to attack Disneyland. Family hasn't seen it. You know what it's all about. So how did you make the most of this time at Disneyland?
I'll tell you the way we made the most, and that's called the Legacy Fastpass system.
Yes. Oh, I miss it.
I tell you, at times I really miss it. I know I've heard lots of talk on your podcast with the ladies about, you know, whether it's better or worse or the same, just different. But I tell you, the Fastpass has really made a difference. When I got the rewards card, I asked the cast member what his thoughts were, because, you know, I told my family, we can walk by between the two parks. Do you want to get a park hopper? It's going to be extra money. Or do you just want to focus on one park? And we all decided, and the cast member said, you know, you're probably better off just doing one park. Because as the day went on, the crowds kept getting more and more. And so if you were to hop to the next park, you're going to, you know, fast passes will be limited and you're going to have longer waits. So we just decided we'd go with the original park and go to Disneyland.
So now the Fastpass is out there still set up the same way they were at World, where, you know, it gives you a window where, now you can get your next Fastpass and can you start banking them? Obviously, I don't know, but I remember towards the end there with Legacy at World, you really had to hit your return times, where before that, they didn't care. I mean, how was it working for you?
So the return, I believe they still are enforcing the return time more stringently than they used to, because, you know, remember, it used to be any time after the time had come, you could go and use it. I don't believe they're allowing that anymore. But you are allowed to have multiple fast passes. So I actually had we had fast passes for Space Mountain, Big Thunder Railroad, Fantasmic, and Splash Mountain all at the same time. So I had four different ones in my pocket.
It's like money in your pocket when you have those. You know, it's a currency.
And that's a really good thing to point out is the Fantasmic one. You need to go early and get those because if you don't, you know, they run out. And so they had a couple of different shows of Fantasmic. And so what I had to do is get the last showing of it because I didn't get there early enough to get the earlier showing tickets.
Interesting. Now, you guys, did you know going in, like, you were in there for the long haul? Because, I mean, obviously you had one day, so you wanted to see as much as you can. But, I mean, was this something like you decided as family, like, we're staying until it closes, and that kind of gave you the mindset? Or did you just say, we're going to stay as long as we can? I mean, what would you think going in?
So we are the type of family, a long time ago we used to get park hoppers, and then we noticed that we didn't hop all that much. We just tended to not feel like hopping on a bus and going between parks. So we tend to be the type of family that just goes early and stays all night. I guess maybe we're gluttons for punishment. Even when the kids were young, we would go from almost park opening until it closed. And so we just decided that we were going to go as long as we could and make the most of the one day that we had there.
So how did you take care of the crowds? I mean, obviously the Legacy Fast Pass obviously helped because you know more than obviously the average guest. But as the crowds builded, you know, during this very busy week of the year, and of course Disneyland's not, you know, it's not real large. You know, it's a tight area. So how did you accommodate those kind of conditions?
Well, we did a little bit of planning, talked about some of the attractions we wanted to go and make sure we rode. And we also worked on our flexibility because one of the first things we wanted to ride was the Indiana Jones adventure, which they don't have out at World. And when we went to go get in line, it was down. So we're like, okay, that won't work. And so what's nearby? And we went and got in line for Pirates, since it was really close. And then when the Pirates was over, I ran over and got a fast pass for, I believe, Space Mountain. My family went and kind of got in line over by, you know, Indiana Jones, and we rode that. So that's pretty much the tactic we used, is we'd finish a ride, I would run over, get some fast passes for the next ride we wanted to go to, and then we'd get in line for, you know, a different ride. So while we were, you know, so we were done with Pirates, did Indiana Jones, went over, I think, to Matterhorn, and while my family went and got in line for Matterhorn, I went and got Big Thunder Mountain tickets, and we just kind of bounced back and forth like that. I would run and be the you know, the mule, like I think you've talked about with your family.
Oh, yeah.
Go get the tickets.
Before my Disney experience, I remember that, man. I was all over the parks because I hated to wait. You know, like I was like, you know, I'd set the alarm because I remember on the old Legacy Fast Passes, it was, hey, another Fast Pass is available at 10:10. So I'd set my alarm on my phone for 10:05. And then, you know, even if we were, you know, just kind of hanging out or getting something to eat, I'd be like, okay, I'll be right back. I'm going to go get some Fast Passes for this. You know, and then, like you said, you would bank them because those, I mean, those things are gold, especially when there's, you know, a big crowd. So it sounds like you were always kind of looking at the next step, which I'm sure made your day a lot more tolerable with the crowds.
Yeah, and I don't mind doing that. So, I mean, I think it made my family happy because I'd just go run and get them. They would go to the next attraction at a leisurely pace, and then I would be back with the next set of fast passes, and we'd wait in line and ride a ride, and then when we were done, we'd probably wait a little bit and then go ride the next one with the fast pass. And so it worked out really well.
I'm going to have to go with you. I think we're going to have to. Yeah, that sounds like a good way to do
it. That's the way I like to do it. I really miss the old fast pass system.
Yeah, me too. Now, let me ask you, when you debrief the family, okay, so the day's over, maybe you're just, you know, riding around, doing the rest of your trip, what were some of the things your family said? You know, because I like to hear first-timers, like, you know, because they have experience with World. What were the things they were saying about the day in Disneyland?
So one of the things I asked was, you know, what are your thoughts? Is it better? Is it worse? And they said, it's not better. It's not worse. It's just different. They definitely said it was, you know, it's much more quaint or intimate than Disney World. And even the Magic Kingdom is, you know, which is the closest park comparison to Disneyland, is even bigger than Disneyland it is itself. So that was sort of the general. They noticed The walkways aren't as wide, so it could seem more crowded at times, especially around Pirates and the whole New Orleans Square area.
Mm-hmm.
It was really crowded in that area at times. And so it just could be intimidating. I'm just like, I would grab my wife's hand or my kid's hand, and we'd all link together, and I'd just walk through the crowd to get through. And that's just how you had to deal with it in the end.
Interesting.
But they liked it. They enjoyed it. It was nice to go into a park that, they hadn't been to, and it was the original one that Walt Disney actually walked in.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Like, I'm so looking forward to going to Disneyland, but, I'm like, you can only go your first time once. You know what I mean? It's so
right,
obvious to say
right.
that, but it's like, it's like once I do it, then I don't have it to look forward to, but I know I'll be back. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to that because, again, it's going to be an experience I think that'll feel familiar but very different, all at the same time. So, I can't
wait. The castle was one comment they made, and my daughter did say that she liked Disney World's castle better.
Well, I could see that.
Because it's bigger.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess bigger is better in some cases.
That's the American way, I think.
Definitely.
So let me ask you this. I've heard that Disneyland has some really nice counter service options, as far as dining, but, obviously some table service locations too. So how'd you guys eat during the day?
So we split up a little bit. My wife wanted she wanted to try the broccoli and cheddar soup bowl at the Hungry Bear. So she went there, and her and my son got that. And my daughter and I went to, that was the Harbor Galley. We went to Hungry Bear, and we ordered a green tomato sandwich. And then my wife and son met us at the Hungry Bear seating area, and we had lunch there. So I think the green tomato sandwich was pretty good. I had heard good things about it. And, my wife and son ate the entire cheddar bowl, so I guess they said they liked that as well.
Nice.
But probably actually we probably ate as much outside, because what they really liked with food options were two things, and I was talking to her about it, my wife, today, and she said, make sure you mention how good they had a cheddar stuffed jalapeno pretzel that they got at one of the carts.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah, they rave about that. They're like, that was so good. And then the other thing that we did was we got a corn dog at one of the carts. And that was near the front of near Main Street. They have a cart. And my wife said, make sure you tell them, tell Mike that I'm not even a big corn dog fan, and I really like the corn dog.
You know what, though? I think they have. It's called the Disneyland Corn Dog in one of the food trucks at Downtown Disney. So now, I'm getting that in July. So I'll think of you guys when I'm having my first Disneyland Corn Dog down at World, because I've always thought, a corn dog's a corn dog. What can you do with a corn dog? So I'll give it a shot for y'all.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because it was in the park, but I mean, the line, we waited at least a half an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, the line was not short. It was, there was only 15, 20 people in line, but we waited that long.
That's crazy. You could have a steak for that long.
Yeah. Well, and I think everyone knows about this. It's, famous, I guess, in Disney circles. So everybody was getting the corn dogs.
Nice. So look, we're going to kind of wrap up the Disneyland stuff. I don't want to talk to you about Run Disney here just in the last couple minutes that we have. But any advice you give anybody that's going out and they only have like a day, they're tagging it on to, a trip to Hollywood or to the beach or something like that. What could you tell them that might help them if they have very limited time?
Well, I guess if you don't have tickets, make sure you get there right at opening time and get in line for tickets. I found that it wasn't crowded, and we were able to get tickets really quick. I would definitely check the website, because if you were staying on property, Disneyland and California Adventure, have kind of the early morning hours. They let guests in an hour early, so you might want to either pick the other park if you're not staying on site, so that you're not, already behind the curve in terms of the lines. If you're driving in, make sure you kind of at least look on a map or something if you aren't able to drive ahead of time the night before and see how you park, because there's a lot of signs and you have to make sure you kind of know where you're going to get to the parking garage.
Good tips. Yeah, because, you want to make, obviously, if you have limited time, you got to, you lose an hour, you lose, 10% of your day. So it's very, very important for those little things, because they would kind of catch up with you. So, Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna.
When and I would say, you know, either pick whether you want to go to Walt's Park when he walked in and see, you know, the original stuff, or whether you want to see the Cars Land, which is pretty amazing too. So you kind of got to pick whether you want the new or the kind of the nostalgic rides.
I can't do that. I'm going for when I go, I'm going to stay at least 3 or 4 days. I, you know, if I'm going that far,
I definitely recommend doing that.
That's what I'm doing. There's no way I could make that choice. You just kind of gave me a cold shiver there. So, that's great information. Now, real quick before we get out of here, I know that you are a runner and a Run Disney fan. So, let me ask you about that. I mean, what is it about Run Disney that you enjoy? Because I like talking to other runners here on the show when we get a chance.
Well, you know, running, I enjoy that. And two, it's Disney, and you put them together. It's sort of like Disney and Star Wars, right? Or Disney and Marvel. Mm-hmm. It just makes it better. And I just think that running at Disney races, they have characters available. They have, you know, a lot of cheering, a lot of fans. It's not too competitive. And so it's nice for people that aren't, you know, in the necessarily at the front of the pack, or those who are worried about getting trampled and stuff. You know, the races, while they can be big, they're very well managed. I mean, Disney has made an art out of managing lines and crowds. So, you know, all those things make for a nice, nice race experience.
Oh, I agree. I echo everything you just said. Now, let me ask you this, too. What's the favorite event you've done as far as the Run Disney series? What's your favorite race you've ever experienced?
Well, unfortunately, the only race I've done is the Tower of Terror 10-miler. I've done it twice. So this November, I'll be there for the Wine and Dine. I was able to navigate the registration system and make it in.
You made it through the gauntlet on that day.
Make it. I was at a Chick-fil-A on my phone, and I had my laptop, too, just in case.
That day was, I got in as well, and I actually even got my daughter and my wife signed up for the 5K. It was the miracle of all miracles, but I'm telling you, I think I sweat more during the registration than I will during the, now I can't say that because the 1 year it was like 150 degrees. We were down there running that thing, but I guarantee you, I was sweating bullets more than I do when I run the race. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I like the, you know, the night races because, you know, I've heard, like you've talked about getting up at 3 a.m. and it's, you know, I'm the type of person that it's really hard for me at Disney World to go to bed early. And so I just would be afraid I would not sleep and I'd be exhausted before I even start the race. So the night race is good because it allows you to kind of hang out at the resort and relax and then go to the race later in the day.
That's a good point. And so I'll be running the Wine and Dine. Actually, I'm doing the 5K that morning and then the Wine and Dine that night. So it's kind of a double dose for me that day. But yeah, I'll tell you about the getting up early when I have to do it 4 days in a row over marathon weekend. You know, like the miles running, it's going to be fun. But everybody to a person who's done Dopey has said exactly what you just said. Like, getting up at 2:30 in the morning, it's okay once. But when you got to do it four consecutive days, it's not exactly the greatest thing in the world. So yeah, I have a feeling that Sunday might be a little tough getting out there for, you know, considering, okay, this is my fourth day and now I got to do the longest one. That's going to be a challenge.
And so, then knowing you got to drive home. I don't envy that at all.
You never know. You never, never know.
Oh, well, just breaking news.
I'm not committing anything yet. You know me. But yeah, if I'm ever going to be tired enough to actually hop on a plane, that might be the weekend.
I definitely agree with you on that one.
All right. Well, it's been fun, David, talking a little Disneyland, a little Run Disney. I appreciate your time today and can't wait to see you down for Wine and Dine. We're going to have a great race and a great weekend. So thanks again, my friend.
Thank you very much for everything, Mike, and thank the ladies for all the work that you guys do. It's a wonderful podcast. My favorite, definitely.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that, and I will pass that on to the gals. They're going to love that.
Okay.
So,
All right.
Don't forget today's episode brought to you by the folks who are keeping you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions possible on the next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or even Universal Vacation down in Florida. They are at touringplans.com. Check them out today. They have great apps for your smartphone called Lines. That's the basic one that's going to give you up-to-the-minute wait times and customizable touring plans. That's right. It's called the Optimizer. You put in the attractions you are most interested in, and it will spit back with real-time information, the best way to see those attractions with the least amount of wait. And again, like I said at the top of the show, a couple of desserts, all it costs for one solid year of touringplans.com. So check them out today. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Check them out, touringplans.com. The next Be Our Guest podcast live show is going to come your way on the Disney Dream. That's right. We're going to record it during the podcast cruise. So that one will not be live on Magical Mouse Radio in July, but we'll get back together in August. But for all those that are sailing with us, we're going to have a great live show, and it'll be obviously out on the feed as well. But, you know, we always have Magical Mouse Radio for those folks that are missing Walt Disney World, because we keep the audio going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Stuff from all of the four major theme parks. We play stuff from the water parks, all the resorts. If you need the sounds of Walt Disney World right now, all you have to do is drop by MagicalMouseRadio.com. Give us a follow on Twitter. We're at BeOurGuestMike. We're on Facebook at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, join the friendliest forums on the internet over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. All right, we're going to let you get back to work. Disney talk time is over. We'll be back again on Wednesday with more listener questions on the One Commute Question Show. But until then, make it a great week and work hard. So for David, I'm Mike, wishing you a great week again. Continue to work hard, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.